Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We left the air yesterday talking about the importance of baptism. In fact, and I'm talking, of course, about water baptism. In fact, I made the statement on the broadcast yesterday as we closed that baptism is essential. Now, I did not say it is essential for salvation, but it is essential. And in the minds of some people, you can't say that it is essential if it's not essential for salvation. But it is essential. It is essential as an indicator of who are the saved people of God. Now, in our day, we've completely abandoned that concept. We have decided that if a person says he is a Christian, that we take his profession at face value, and that's all that is required. That's it. And I'm sure in many cases, part of the problem is that there are so many different viewpoints on baptism, so many different doctrines of baptism, that it's really hard to hold to the New Testament norm. If we can't even agree on the meaning and mode and method of baptism, then how can we insist upon every believer being baptized? Well, I recognize it's a dilemma. I'm not saying that it's an easy problem with an easy solution. It's a difficult problem, and the solutions are not easy. In fact, I suppose in some respects a fully satisfactory solution is impossible. But as in this area, like other areas, Bible-believing Christians need to try to recapture the biblical norm as much as possible. The fact that we cannot return to New Testament days doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying, at least in those areas where doctrine and true practice is at stake. The fact that we cannot achieve the ideal in our own day doesn't mean that we shouldn't move toward the ideal. We give up too easily. And I think we need to have a better understanding of baptism and then a more consistent practice of baptism among believers. So we want to wrap this up today on this Tuesday, March 11. Thank you for joining me. And please don't forget that it is the gifts of God's people that allow us to continue teaching on this station. Now the text in question is 1 Peter 3:21, which says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the flesh, or rather not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, I really don't have time to go back through all that we dealt with on previous broadcasts, but let me try to give this summary before we wrap things up today. And the statement regarding baptism that Peter made is in close connection with the flood of Noah's day, and it needs to be understood in that light. And so as the flood in Noah's day is a powerful symbol of deliverance from judgment through a means provided by God, would you agree with that? Let me read that again. As the flood in Noah's day is a powerful symbol of deliverance from judgment through a means provided by God, so, and of course, the flood in Noah's day involved water, both in the judgment and in the salvation, for it was the water that buoyed the ark with Noah and his family inside up above the place of danger. They did not drown. The water kept them from drowning, but that's a powerful symbol of deliverance from judgment through a means provided by God. So water baptism is a powerful symbol in the New Testament of the believer's deliverance from judgment through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of that. Furthermore, the symbol, water baptism, without the substance, namely a heart faith in the finished work of Christ, is an empty symbol. Nobody is contending that baptism in itself is of any value. As I've heard preachers say, if you take a dry sinner and baptize him, you've got a dry sinner before you baptize, and you've got a wet sinner after you baptize. And that's the truth. The baptism doesn't change anything. He's still a sinner. Ideally, and again, ideally, we always need to strive for the ideal. Ideally, only those who've truly been regenerated will be baptized. And if a regenerated believer is baptized, then he's a dry regenerated believer before he's baptized. He's a wet regenerated believer after he's baptized, but he is also an obedient regenerated believer after he's baptized. And he is, and this is so important, he is an identified regenerated believer after he's baptized. The baptism is the New Testament mark of regeneration, the identifying symbol of regeneration. It's only a symbol, and it's only true if it is an inward reality, but it is the testimony that God has given us so that we can identify ourselves among men who cannot see the heart. And see, this gets back to what I said at the beginning. We've abandoned baptism as the mark of regeneration and have substituted what a person says. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I have trusted in Christ. If they say so, we take them at face value and assume that they are Christians. Of course, sometimes we have to revisit that identification, but we accept the identification on the basis of what they say. The New Testament teaches us to accept the identification based upon what they do in obedience to believers' baptism. Those who have not been baptized would not be considered Christians by New Testament believers in the first century. Those who have been baptized would be considered Christians by believers in the first century unless they defect, unless they go the route of apostasy and demonstrate that they were not true believers when they were baptized. We can never see the heart, and we know that. We know that we can never see the heart, but that doesn't mean we throw away the symbol. God gave us the symbol. God knows what He's doing. No, we can't see the heart. So God gave us something we can see. So when a person submits to water baptism, that's their testimony that they have been saved, and that's the signal for the church to accept them as believers, as a believer. If their subsequent actions turn to unbelief and dealing with them, trying to recover them, trying to restore them, admonishing them, does not change that picture, then, of course, eventually you have to remove from them that visible identification as a Christian. And the church is empowered to do exactly that. But because we can't see the heart, this symbol is what God tells us to go by. So, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and haven't been baptized, that won't keep you out of heaven, but that should keep you from being considered a Christian by other Christians. If you attend church, and I hope you do, other Christians should consider you a seeker. You're coming, you're listening, but you're not yet converted. Now, you would say, I am, I've been converted. Well, we can't recognize that until you submit to water baptism. When you submit to water baptism, then we have biblical permission to receive you as a Christian. Until then, we don't. We don't have the right to suspend what God has said and replace it with our own personal individual judgment any more than you have the right to suspend what God has required and replace it with your own personal testimony. Personal testimony is part of your baptism, but it's not complete until you're baptized. Your baptism is what makes your testimony valid as far as the church is concerned. We're not talking about as far as God is concerned, who deals with the heart. We're not talking about whether or not you're going to go to heaven when you die, because obviously if you're a true believer, you will. But we're talking about what the church is authorized to recognize. And the church is not authorized to recognize you as a believer until you are willing to accept the mark of salvation, the mark of a Christian that God has given to you. And so, certainly the reality, namely the new birth, falls short of its full God-intended purpose when the ordinance of baptism is neglected. Water baptism, therefore, is important, not as a means of salvation, but as a, and here's the key word, essential testimony of God's gracious work in the heart. We have treated it as an optional testimony of God's work in the heart. If I don't want to be baptized, that's okay. Just accept my verbal testimony. Sorry, the church isn't authorized to do that. We can't change what God has told us any more than you can. And we can't recognize your disobedience. So, in that sense, water baptism is essential. It is the essential testimony of God's work in the heart. Other testimonies are optional. Water baptism is essential. And therefore, it ought to be clear how important water baptism is for every true believer. It's commanded by Christ. It's God's appointed means of public confession. Nothing else can replace this. Other things may be added to it, but nothing else can replace this. It is the mark of a new covenant believer. It is the doorway to the visible church, that is, a local church, the identifying badge of Christian discipleship, and the prerequisite to church fellowship and the Lord's table. Despite the fact that it is true it is not necessary for salvation, it is nevertheless necessary to become an obedient follower of Christ. Yes, there's much disagreement about baptism among Christians, but we are responsible to follow the light that God has given us. And in this area, what God has given us is clear enough. It's clear enough, and therefore, those who understand, those who believe what I have taught and believe that's biblical, the important thing for you is to act upon it. And if more people who believe this would act upon it, it would probably become more widely practiced. And doing that is only being obedient to the Bible. All right, that's the end. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.